This is the second Sunday in Lent. The first lesson is recorded in Genesis 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her, and I will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her, that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in Romans 5, beginning with the first verse. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I greet you once again in the powerful, all-powerful name of Jesus. You know, I'm kind of still coming to grips with the fact that I'm a pastor now, rather than just, for many years, your lay deacon. People ask me how it feels, and, you know, I have to confess that sometimes mentally I have to pinch myself to make sure that it's real. Someone recently asked my wife, how does it feel to be a pastor's wife? And she jokingly said, do I have to be good now? And really, that's kind of the expectation, that everything I do somehow has to be perfect. It may not be spoken, but it's kind of subliminal, that it's kind of expected. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm just a person. I'm just a sinful human being like you are. Yes, I've been chosen by God to help lead you in your spiritual walk. But like other people chosen by God for leadership positions, I am flawed. I too have trouble walking the talk. I stumble on the righteous path just like you do. And therefore, we're all in need of repentance. We're all in need of forgiveness. But that doesn't diminish the fact that we should be striving to live the way that God wants us to live. That should be the goal for all of our lives. Jesus told us in the gospel lesson today, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. In other words, he was saying, if we're to be committed to following him, and if we're willing to submit to his authority over us, and we see that following him has our best interest at heart for our eternal future, then we should be willing to accept the challenges and the hardships that this life will bring to us as one of his followers. You see, the world is against Jesus, and as followers of his, it's going to be against us too. We'll experience hardships. It may be that people are just against anything to do with Jesus. It may be that some of our own sinful misdeeds get us into trouble. It may be that because this world is so corrupt and this world is just devolving ever since sin was introduced, and it may be a combination of things. For whatever reason, trouble will come, and there's no easy route to be a true disciple of Jesus. But we want it to be easy, don't we? I mean, it should be, right? In this age of instant gratification, we want what we want, no muss, no fuss. Well, I'm sorry to break it to you. That ain't going to happen. If we truly live the Christian life, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us time to worship our wonderful God, time to come to Him in prayer and talk with Him, time to study His Word, time to help other people in service of Him. It's going to cost us money to help other people, money to support His work, His kingdom. It's going to cost us friends. It's going to cost us maybe even family members who don't want to go along with us on our walk, who look down on his followers, who don't appreciate people standing up for his commands and his words. It's going to cost us. Ah, those guilty pleasures. You know, the things that our old nature loves to do. But God knows that those things will lead to sin and ultimately to death in the long run. Now, we're not called to live a bland and boring and unfun life. No. Walking with and serving our wonderful God can be exciting. It can be joyful. It can be very deeply satisfying. I mean, I love working with you all. I love what I can do for you all. I love talking with and meeting people inside this church and outside this church. I love having people come to know Jesus in a more deeper and more meaningful way. And while I'm on this subject, we're all called to do that. We're all in the priesthood of believers. We're all in His church. We are all part of His body, His eyes and ears and hands and feet in this world. We're all His ambassadors. We're all His representatives. And God is faithful to keep His promises to us. I mean, in our lessons today, He kept His promise to Abraham and Sarah, as we see in our first lesson. He kept His promise to reconcile us back to Him through Jesus, as Paul showed us in our second lesson. And now we have peace with God, even though we may not have peace with the world. And we have the way to everlasting life through Jesus, as we see in our gospel lesson. God keeps His promises. He promised that those who are faithful to Him will live in all eternity and will share in an abundance that we can't even imagine. And yet, with all of that, we sometimes give up on trying to live the Christian life because it's too hard. Too hard for us. Walking with Him takes commitment. Walking with Him and walking the Christian life takes perseverance. Speaking out to defend His message in this corrupt world takes courage. The harder we try, the more that Satan's going to throw stuff in our way to get us off the path, because he wants us to walk his path. He doesn't want us to walk Jesus' path. We know, don't we, that Satan's path, oh man, it's wide. Okay? It's smooth, isn't it? It's soft. It's pleasurable for a while. But it leads to our destruction. And it ultimately leads to our death. How many people succumb to the temptation of drugs because it makes them feel good, right? Or it makes them forget their troubles. Or only to find out that they have many more troubles because of it, which lead to addictions, which lead to destruction. And many times it leads to death. How many people succumb to an affair because it's exciting, right? It's pleasurable or distracting, only to completely ruin their marriages and their relationship with their children and maybe their friends? How many people succumb to the temptation to believe the lies about Jesus and completely abandon their faith because then they think, well, there's nobody to hold me accountable, and I can do whatever I want. But in the end, they find no real pleasure. They find no real happiness, no real satisfaction, only eternal death. Think about this. When we walk with Jesus, we have a relationship with Him, right? We have an intimate relationship with Him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Why, He even knows the very number of the hairs on our head, for goodness sakes. We can't hide anything from Him. When we consider all the blessings that we have when we walk close with Jesus, and we compare that to everything that we can do in the world on our own without Him, there's no comparison. As Jesus said in our gospel lesson, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? No, there's no easy way through this life by walking with Jesus. And perhaps that's the point. You know, I read this story one time about a man who was traveling through the countryside. And he saw this big barn. And on the barn he saw these bullseyes neatly painted. In the middle of the bullseyes was a hole. So he had to stop and he had to take a look at this. And so he went up to the barn and he looked, and there was 20 bullseyes painted on the barn. And in the middle of each of the bullseyes was a hole. Now obviously the hole had been made by some kind of fire alarm. And obviously somebody was having target practice. But the man was flabbergasted when he went up and looked at it. He said, who could be so skilled to shoot the middle of each of those bullseyes on the barn? Well, as he was marveling about it, the owner of the barn came out to see him. And so the man asked the owner, he said, who did the shooting of this barn? And the owner said, I did. And the man said, wait a minute, I can't believe that anyone could shoot that good. There are 20 targets. There are 20 bullseyes. And in the middle of each of the 20 bullseyes are holes in the exact middle. You mean to tell me that you did that? The owner said, yep, I made every shot. The man said, how in the world did you do that? The owner said, simple. I shot the barn and then I painted the target around the hole. Sadly, many people are like that barn owner. They appear like they're the real deal, but down deep, they just want the easy way out. They don't want to put in the time to, you know, or the energy or the involvement to actually live the way that Jesus wants us to live. They just want you to think they do. Those people leave a Sunday service and they just completely go back to the way they do things in the world without regard to how Jesus wants them to live. But Jesus knows what's in our hearts. Jesus wants those close to Him who are really His disciples. He wants people that are really committed to Him. He wants people that are accurate, not just good painters. Those of us who want to be with Jesus because we love Him, because we want to respond to His love for us. Those of us who see Satan's view of the world as being a mirage, an illusion. And those of us who see the only true way to everlasting life is through Jesus. We will do what it takes to remain close to Him. Yes, Jesus wants all people to come to Him. But He wants people who want to be with Him. He wants people who want to follow His leading. People who will stick it out. People who will persevere regardless of the cost. Are we always going to be that way? Of course not. Like I said, we all stumble. We all need forgiveness. You know, the people that follow Jesus that we read about in the Bible, God has used people to further His kingdom in many, many, many ways. And those people we revere, don't we? I mean, Moses. Think about Moses. Moses did so much for God. But Moses had his issues. I mean, you know, God even barred him from going into the promised land because of them. King David was a man who God said is a man after my own heart. But David had his issues, didn't he? I mean, he committed adultery and then he had a man killed to cover it up. Paul had his issues. Paul was a great apostle for Jesus. But he started off persecuting Christians. And then Peter in our gospel lesson today, he had his issues. On one hand, he recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, probably before the other disciples did. And then, you know, like two or three verses later, Jesus is calling him Satan. He had his issues, and yet God forgave them all. God used them to further his kingdom, all of them. And so you see, there's hope for us. Jesus is very forgiving to those who truly seek forgiveness. And forgiveness is the first step in walking the talk. Starting off new with God. God is always the God of second chances. Then we can begin walking the talk. How do we do that? Well, as I said, our walk entails an intimate relationship with Jesus. We do what he did. We say what he said. Of course, we have to know what that is to be able to do that. And the way we know what that is we have to study Holy Scriptures. Bible study. Well, how did Jesus do what he did? He tells us in Scripture. In John chapter 5, he said this. He said, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." Jesus was intimate with his Father. And so, let's be intimate with Jesus. Now, we have to learn too that Jesus ministered from the standpoint of compassion. He loved everyone he met, even the people that would kill him. For an example, in Matthew 14, it says, when Jesus landed his ship from the lake and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And it was then that he caused his disciples to feed the multitude, the 10,000 plus people there, with the loaves and the fish, because he had compassion on them. In Mark 12, when asked by a teacher of the law, which is the most important commandment from God? Jesus said this. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Jesus lived by those words. We also need to remember to live by those words, as Jesus is our perfect example. And we also need to remember that Jesus has given us the authority to make a difference in this world. Not just pastors. Yes, we're given a little bit more authority to do certain things because we have a greater responsibility to carry them out properly for the benefit of the congregation. We're going to be especially accountable to Him on that last day. But all of us have authority. As his ambassadors, we have the right and we have the duty to bring his message to the entire world. We have the authority to speak on his behalf. We have the privilege of representing him to all people with whom we come in contact. But many of the times we don't, do we? Many times we hold back. Many times we're kind of like, you know, maybe we're undercover agents in this world. We just go about watching what's going on, not saying anything. Let me ask you a question. Do the people in your life know that you believe in Jesus? Let me ask it another way. If there was some dictator that came along and accused you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Or would you be acquitted of all charges? Something to think about, right? But here's some good news. We don't have to walk our walk with Jesus in our own strength. Jesus gives us the same Holy Spirit that He gave to the apostles at Pentecost. And you know what they did with that Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit lives in us. The same Holy Spirit who has been given to us who have faith to believe in Jesus. That same Holy Spirit gives us the power to do what He wants us to do. The power to say what He wants us to say. The power to stand up under the pressure to just give in and go away. And as we are continually filled with the Holy Spirit, we're able to move in other dimensions of God's power. Now, I've taken a little bit extra time with this because I think it's important that we show our commitment to Jesus in our lives, not just in our words. Walk the talk, my friends. And remember this saying, may your life preach more loudly than your lips. Amen?